Now we're going to pick back up at our study in Romans this morning, at Romans 3, chapter 3, and beginning at verse 9. The title of my message is going to be All Under Sin. And as our brother in the back said, this message this morning is going to deal a lot with all mankind, all people without exception, being under sin. Born of Adam, as they come into this world in darkness, worshiping an idol of our imagination. As I tell you this about all being under sin, I don't want to leave you in despair, because in this message also, I'm going to talk about that remedy, the only hope for a sinner is in Christ and His righteousness alone. So as we start this morning, if you remember, we closed out our last study as we saw the Jews. They did benefit from being God's chosen nation, and the Apostle Paul answered that they benefited in every way, mainly because they had the Word of God that was given to them through that old covenant law and all the sacrificial system and all the types and pictures that should have and that did show them their only hope, which was Christ, that true Lamb of God without spot or blemish. We also saw that even though that nation Israel had the Word of God preached to them, that most did not believe, even sitting under the very Word of God that revealed who God was and how He saved the sinner. Now, as we begin in verse 9 of Romans 3, once again, there's a question asked. The question is, what then? Are we better than they? The question is, are we Jews better than they, the Gentiles? And when we talk about Gentiles, we're talking about all the other nations of the world, all the other peoples of the world, anybody that's not a Jew. And Paul says, no, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Now, when it says, what then, as it speaks of that in verse 9, this is the conclusion of all that Paul had stated, beginning back at chapter 1, verse 18, that all men without exception, both Jew and Gentile, are in Adam and under sin, under the guilt and defilement of sin. We're all sinners who deserve the judgment and the wrath of God. God's elect are not under God's wrath, but by nature, we all deserve God's wrath, even as those that are the non-elect. Are we better than they? No and no wise, Paul says. The Jews, with all their privileges, their religion, even in spite of the fact that they had the oracles of God, the very Word of God, were no better off based on their efforts, their best efforts, to keep the law than the worst Gentiles, who did not have the law of Moses. The religious Jews were just as deserving of God's wrath as any of those Gentiles. The point Paul is making is that sinners cannot be saved by their works, but only by the grace of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Without Christ, all are equally born in sin and in bondage to sin and deserving of God's wrath. In verse 10 here, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Beginning here, Paul connects several Old Testament passages, Psalms 14, 1 through 3, and Psalms 53, 1 through 3, to show the universal guilt and depravity of all men by nature. God's law requires righteousness, and by nature, no man born of Adam, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, has a righteousness that equals the requirements of God's law and justice. If sinners are to be righteous before God, it can only be and must be by Christ alone. Notice he did not say there is none religious, no, not one, or there is none who try to be righteous, no, not one. Men can and do find religion and seek to be righteous by their works, but they cannot attain this goal. Romans 9:31 says, but Israel, which were these Jews here that we're talking about, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. So we see that Israel did follow after righteousness, but they did not attain to righteousness. And in Romans 10:4, Scripture's clear to where righteousness is to be found. It reads, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The best efforts of the best of men seeking righteousness by their works are going to fall short of the glory of God. Such efforts are wicked and they're evil because they dishonor God, they deny Christ, and promote sinners in pride and self-righteousness, trying to go about to establish a righteousness of their own to appease God. These efforts are the fruit of unbelief. They're fruit unto death. And John 3:19-20 reads, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that gospel light, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They did not want to come to this light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Those that are going about to establish the righteousness of their own, unless God does a work in their hearts, they're going to hate that light. They're not going to come to that light. It's going to reveal to them who they are. It says, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Also here in Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now these motions of sins here that we're talking about, that's in this verse here, speaking of, are those self-righteous acts done by a sinner attempting to obey the law in order to be saved. That's those motions of sins. Men by nature call these religious deeds good works, but God calls them sin, motions of sin, and fruit unto death, deeds that will only result in eternal death. Those deeds that once God does a work in our hearts, revealing Christ to us in the only hope of salvation based on His righteousness alone, we repent of. All those works in false religion that we thought so highly of, we repent of. We're ashamed of them because we know that it did cast shame and reproach on the work of Christ. And that Christ that we were worshiping was no Christ at all, no God at all. Now in Romans 3:11, says, there is none that understandeth. And we need to do some explanation here on that. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, men by nature do not understand the real issues of truth in salvation. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We do not understand our sinfulness and God's holiness by nature. We do not understand God's way of salvation by His free and sovereign grace in Christ, who is the only way of salvation for a sinner. And in John 14:6, where Christ is speaking to Thomas before he went to the cross, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way. And in Acts 4:12, says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Because we do not understand these things naturally, we will not of our own wills seeketh after God, as it says in verse 11. That is the true and the living God who reveals himself in Christ. Now we will seek after a God of our imagination, as I said, one that we build up in our own mind due to what we've been taught as we're raised up as a young boy, young girl coming up, what we've been taught and what our nature will agree with. Christ says in John 5:40, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." And in John 6:44, our Lord says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." As I said earlier, man will seek a God, but not the true God. But instead, by nature, men seek a God of our own imagination. A God that's like ourselves, that will accept what we believe that's good enough and what we've been told is good enough. Look at Psalms 50 and verse 21. 50 and verse 21 in the book of Psalms, "These things hath thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." So it says that we by nature, as we look at God, we think he's like us by nature. We do seek a God, but it is a God who cannot save unless we do something, unless something that we do, some work on our part, he won't save us. And in Isaiah 45:20, this God we seek by nature, he's an idol, and he cannot save. Isaiah says, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." Men by nature just will not seek the true and living God. Men by nature will not come as a sinner with nothing to offer, but only to beg for mercy from a holy God who must be just when he justifies an ungodly sinner. Men by nature will not bow to this Christ and submit to his righteousness as the only way of justification before God. God is a righteous God. He's a just God and a Savior. The only thing that men naturally understand is righteousness earned by their works, or righteousness infused, because this exalts the flesh and it feeds the pride of men. But men do not naturally understand the way of Christ. They understand these other things, but they don't understand the way of Christ and his righteousness imputed, one that's legally charged to their account. If any man understands and seeks the Lord, he must be brought and taught by God's sovereign power. We see something about God's sovereign power in the following verses. Sovereign power in the following verses. In John, in chapter 6, beginning at verse 37, this is Christ speaking of the Father, of the Father's sovereign, electing grace, and the calling out of the elect by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Christ says here, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Those that the Father give Christ in that everlasting covenant of grace, wherein Christ stood as our surety, representative. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Sinners must seek God in Christ by faith. This is what it means in verse 40 that we just got through reading when it says, seeth the Son. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and faith is a gift of God. And in Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what is faith here that we're talking about? This faith that we must have. What is it other than the revelation of the gospel of Christ, who is our justification and our salvation? Now, in Romans 3 and verse 12 reads, they are all gone out of the way. There are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way here. We by nature go our own way, which is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 reads, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We by nature go our own way, which is the way of death. Salvation by works, which is the way that all men go by nature, just seems right to us. It just seems right. We think we got ourselves into this mess. Surely, we must do something to get ourselves out of it. And so we go about trying to appease this God that we know, doing things or abstaining from things, trying to establish a righteousness of our own. This way, which seemeth right unto a man, is called the broad way. The broad way of destruction. And in Matthew 7, verse 13, reads, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. As men and women who are born into this world, we are all like sheep who have gone astray and turned to our own way. The prophet Isaiah tells it like this in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our way is the way of self-righteous, works religion. That's our way by nature. Friends, we need to know something about what God says is the right way. When it speaks of how they're all gone out of the way, is speaking of the right way. And then the one and only way of salvation by God's grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that they're all together become unprofitable. The way of man by nature is the way of failure and vanity. Psalm 39:5 reads, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's that short, measured period of time. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best estate, altogether vanity. Selah. The word vanity here means the state of fact of being futile, worthless, or empty of significance. Sinners who seek salvation by their own works are useless in pleasing God, or in leading others, sinners, to know the right way of salvation in and by Christ. They are unprofitable. And that's what we are by nature as we walk this earth until God reveals this gospel to us. We're going about trying to worship a God of our imagination, a Christ that cannot save unless we do something. God also tells us that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is a very strong statement that offends many people, but it is true as we consider goodness in the sight of God. and according to God's standard of goodness. In God's sight, there is no man good, and no man can produce anything good by nature. In Matthew 19, in verse 16, Christ taught this as he dealt with a rich young man who came to him asking, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And in Matthew 19:17, our Lord answers, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." The Lord was not denying his own goodness, but the young man did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was God in human flesh. Therefore, our Lord asked him, "Why do you call me good when there is none good but God?" Goodness, according to God's standard, is never found among sinful men, not even the best of men. The Lord told the young man the standard of goodness, keep the commandments, which is perfect righteousness. No sinner can do this. Therefore, the only hope for any sinner is to find goodness by God's grace in the person and finished work of Christ and Christ alone. Now, in closing this morning, I'll again read Romans 3 and beginning verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." We're talking about the true and living God. Folks, this includes us all by nature, before and until God, the Holy Spirit, does a work of grace in our hearts and brings us from that darkness that we're in. That darkness that we're in, where we're going about worshiping a false God, a false Christ, trying to establish a righteousness of our own. He brings us to the light, to the gospel, revealing Christ to us, enabling us to behold His glory, the glory of God in the person and work of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I pray today, while it is still called today, I pray that God will cause those that listen to this message to seek the true and living God in Jesus Christ, whom He sent. Flee from the wrath to come. There is only condemnation outside of Christ. There is only salvation in Christ. And remember that if you're able to trust Christ alone for salvation, be assured that God enabled you to do this. He made you willing in the day of His power, when He came to you, when you're in this state of darkness, not knowing who God is, who Christ is, you're going about worshiping a God of your imagination, trying to establish a righteousness of your own, and He comes to you with the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He chose you from the beginning. He gave you to Christ. Christ came in time and He worked out that salvation by His life and death on that cross as He shed His blood. And in time, the Holy Spirit, all those who Christ represented, stood in their place and died on that cross. He's going to come to them and He's going to reveal this gospel to you, that your only hope is what Christ did. And you're going to repent of ever thinking that you could do something to appease this God.